The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We've got a big Thursday night football game lined up to start week 15. It's Chargers at Raiders, and we've got all the news surrounding that one. But first, in this key game, Keyshawn Johnson, what are you keeping an eye on tonight?
Well, I think the one thing I'm going to watch on this one is Henry Ruggs. What happens to the vertical stretch game for the Raiders? Henry Ruggs is out because of COVID, and when you think about this situation, he stretches his field for Waller. He stretches the field for Aguilar. Can they continue to do that with him on the sidelines?
I want to watch Justin Herbert. I mean, every game it seems that Justin Herbert makes three or four splash plays for this Chargers offense, just big-time throws that you go, man, this guy looks the part. And then we know this Raiders defense is struggling. Watch for throws like this. I mean, this is perfect body position to drive this football to the sideline. You want to talk about a firm touch throw, kind of oxymoron, in front of that safety, but over the trailing underneath defender, it's perfect. I mean, just watch the drops. The body alignment is outstanding. He will have three or four throws tonight that you look at and go, man, that is special. There's only a few guys in the league that can make those throws.
Meanwhile, Dan, the Raiders are going to be without four defensive starters tonight, including former first-round draft pick Cleveland Farrell and, of course, Jonathan Abraham. And they're going to be without four of these guys tonight on the defensive side. Not the way the Raiders want to make their debut for new defensive coordinator Rod Marinelli. On the flip side, the Chargers also will be without some offensive firepower as Mike Williams is not expected to play at wide receiver due to a back injury. Keenan Allen has a hamstring injury. That the Chargers don't sound optimistic he's going to play. They'll test him pregame. If he does play, sounds like it'll be limited snaps only, maybe third downs. But Austin Eckler, listed as questionable, he will be out there, Field.
Major, major fantasy football implications. What I'm thinking about, that Keenan Allen injury news, Shefty. A big game tonight for the Raiders and their playoff chances. You just heard from Adam Schefter, the most plugged-in man in football. To my left, Dan Orlops. To my right, Keyshawn Johnson. We will be joined by our man, Swagoo, Marcus Spears, in just a little bit. I'm Field Yates, and it is rare to get a game as big as the one that we have coming up this Sunday. Saints, Chiefs, it doesn't get better than this.
Go out there and make some play.
Hell yeah.
When the ball comes your way, fly around and make some hits.
Against all odds, I'm not afraid of when time gets hard. That's when I deliver.
Chiefs have got to have some Mahomes magic.
Is it late for the end zone? Kelce wide open.
Touchdown. I knew that was the game winner.
Knocked down many times, but I still get up. Put me in the game, play good under pressure.
Butker's going to try to win it with a 58-yard field goal.
It's good! Money!
Pat does it better than anybody in the league. Is when adversity hits, his level of play goes up. We rally and follow the leader.
Good now?
Man, isn't Travis Kelce speaking the truth, as Patrick Mahomes is the only quarterback in the Super Bowl era to post a winning record in games his team falls behind by double digits. That according to Elias. You see Mahomes here ranking ahead of other known comeback specialists. Tim Tebow, that's right, seriously. Okay. Tom Brady, of course, every notable record involves Tom Brady. And the original GOAT, Joe Montana, who himself performed well in those situations. But Key, there's more to the Chiefs than just comebacks. They're so explosive on offense. Do you have some concern for the Saints this week?
I do have concerns for them because when you look at Patrick Mahomes, you mentioned explosive. They are explosive. And I think when you talk about a guy that continues to do the things that he does at the quarterback spot, it's not all Patrick Mahomes. I give a lot of credit to Eric Bieniemy and a lot of credit as well to Andy Reid. They're kind of the silent secret guys on the sideline for him. Every single quarterback that Andy Reid touches has this composure, this calm about him, coming from behind. But as a whole, when you look at the matchup in general, you got to be concerned if you're the New Orleans Saints. You're going out there possibly with Taysom Hill, maybe Jameis Winston gets some reps. This is one of the reasons I believe that they've taken and put grabbed Drew Brees off of the IR after those ribs, just in case they want to put him out there for some reason throughout the course of the week. He looks good. Because they're going to score points. The Chiefs are going to score. And based on what I saw from Taysom Hill against the Philadelphia Eagles, he wasn't bad, Dan, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't great. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't he was just kind of in the middle. In the middle is not going to beat the Chiefs at all.
Yeah, I don't really care who plays quarterback for the Saints. I just know this. This Chiefs defense, to beat them, they are going to bring their zero blitz package whenever they want. Five times this game. To beat the Chiefs, whoever plays quarterback has to hurt it. You either protect or attack zero pressure. All-out blitz is coming on third down, and you got to have a guy going vertical. You can get press across the board, man-to-man, one-on-one. You got to beat the free rusher. Someone is going to come free, whoever's playing quarterback. That's great. Now, when you get that win, can you notice that's a wide-open receiver in the NFL? Jeez. You got to hit him. You got to gut them. You got to take their – so you can't underthrow. That can't happen on third down because those tips will equal interceptions. They'll also play man-to-man coverage, but also play double robber. Those drop-down safeties, it's 35. They know shallow crosses are coming, something the Saints do. Listen, man, you have got to be willing to be aggressive on third down when they're going to play that drop-down coverage. Look at those safeties. Ooh. They got those eyes on those shallow crosses. The go route's got to go. It's got to leave your hand, and you got to go win contested routes again. If you're going to get into empty, the Saints do this, and they're going to bring out their all-out pressure. Look at this. That's five guys pressed across the line of scrimmage. You don't see that in the NFL. Again, if you have that deep shot, no drift, no, the ball's got to come out. That's wide open. Taysom Hill, Drew Brees, James Winston, I don't care who it is. To beat the Saints, no matter what the week is, especially on Sunday when you play them, when they bring their zero blitz, you cannot think, I got to protect. You think, I got to attack. And you got to hit them to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, and you cannot have any self-inflicted wounds against Kansas City. Here on NFL Live, we don't promise you average. We promise you the best, which is why it's now our pleasure to bring in Swagoo, as promised. Swagoo,
he made it
on this massive. Hey, hello, sir. What do you got in this massive, massive matchup?
Yeah, I see what Dan and Key are talking about with the breakdowns from an offensive standpoint and the Saints, but this is up to the defensive line as well for the New Orleans Saints to generate pressure and keep guys in coverage as much as you possibly can. Look, we talked all year about what Patrick Mahomes does against the blitz. He's a better quarterback against the blitz than he is when you're playing just regular coverage on the back end. So this is up to Cam Jordan, Hendrickson, Marcus Davenport. These guys have to apply the type of pressure to Patrick Mahomes to make him make off-script plays and to create opportunities for this back end. Remember, before the Philadelphia Eagles game, we were talking about the Saints being the best defense because they had made tremendous strides on the back end, stopped giving up a huge amount of plays. Now you get the Kansas City Chiefs, who are known for big plays, who are known for those shots to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Now it's up to the guys up front to get pressure. If you go back to the Super Bowl last year, Bosa was trending to be the MVP of that game, and that is the thing that was stymieing the Kansas City Chiefs. So the New Orleans Saints defensive line has to show up early and often in this game to have any shot at trying to take care of Patrick Mahomes in this offense.
And it's especially going to be difficult for the Saints if they don't have their quarterback, that of course being Drew Brees. So let's bring Adam Schefter back into the mix. And Schefter, we've been talking about it all week. What is the latest that you've heard on Drew Brees?
Well, Field, the Saints have designated him to return off injured reserve. He's back on the practice field throwing, so that's an encouraging sign. Now we'll see if the Saints are confident in the range of motion that he's demonstrating, in the recovery that he's experiencing, and they'll make a determination as the game draws closer about whether they believe Brees is healthy enough to get back out there. If he can't go, Taysom Hill would be the starter, but activating him off IR was the first step to getting him back. And the big question now is, when will they officially get him back? Is it this week, next week, or the week after?
Well, some certainty, uncertainty, I should say, for New Orleans. No such uncertainty for the Kansas City Chiefs, who, of course, have Patrick Mahomes. And with the win over the Saints, Mahomes would become the fifth quarterback to go 8-0 on the road in a single season, joining Tony Romo, Tom Brady, Kurt Warner, and Joe Montana. Pretty decent company, if you ask me. We're back on NFL Live with a bunch of news, so let's sort through the latest on health situations around the league with Shefty, starting again with Washington quarterback Alex Smith.
Well, no practice again today for Alex Smith, Field, who's nursing that calf injury that prevented him from practicing yesterday and today. He suffered it last week against San Francisco, came out of the game. Dwayne Haskins came on in relief. Ron Rivera has been quick to point out that Alex Smith does not have to practice this week to play on Sunday. Again, Seattle, but again, you wonder if they're going to take any chances putting Smith out there or whether they return to the younger Haskins. Meanwhile, Daniel Jones was limited at practice today, dealing with a low ankle sprain in addition to the right hamstring strain that limited his mobility against the Cardinals. If he can't play Sunday, that would be Colt McCoy going up against his former team. Colt McCoy started 21 games for the Browns from 2010 through 2013. Obviously, we'll see whether he gets that chance. And also, Jason Garrett, the Giants offensive coordinator, tested positive for COVID. He will not coach Sunday night's game against the Browns, and he will be replaced by none other than the Giants tight ends coach, the former Cleveland Browns head coach, Freddie Kitchens, who will be calling plays against his former team. And one other Giants note, the Giants also placed their cornerback James Bradberry on reserve COVID list, so it looks like he's out Sunday night as well, Field.
You just can't write a script any more fitting than Freddie Kitchens calling plays against his old team, of course, Shefty. And that gets us right into this Browns-Giants matchup. As we mentioned, Freddie Kitchens back for a revenge game.
Okay.
Get well soon, obviously, Jason Garrett. Our football power index has the Browns in this one, but by just 2.8 points. That's the third lowest projected margin of victory amongst all Week 15 games, and FPI might be onto something. While the Browns are 4-1 since their bye week, each of those games was decided by six or fewer points. Here's Baker Mayfield on the matchup.
Every single game is the most important one. We obviously, like I said, we have a big picture mindset, but you know, the singular focus is just so vital right now to get into the postseason playoff race. So it's we know we have to take care of business this week, and that's we're gonna have that singular laser focus.
Marcus, it's supposed to be my job to ask questions. In this case, I'm just going to say two words. Freddie Kitchens, take it away.
Well, if you can't handle the heat, get out of the kitchen. I guess he's going to throw the kitchen sink at him. I think he's going to try to do his thing and find something to cook up in the kitchen. Listen, this is amazing. You talk about storylines. You talk about dream scenarios. And my God, if Colt McCoy plays too, do you know how bad Freddie Kitchens is going to want to put a great performance up against the Cleveland Browns? Problem is, he's going to face a defense that's hungry. Let's get on to what I really want to talk about. This Cleveland Browns defense has been horrid in the second half of games. They were taken advantage of by the Baltimore Ravens. We saw a 45-point drubbing. You see here in the second half against the Tennessee Titans, who were able to put up a bunch of points. They've given up a lot of plays, and yes, there are missing guys on the back end, but the thing that was perplexing about the Baltimore game was that Myles Garrett didn't show up. Olivier Vernon had a pretty nice game in that game. So I expect this defense to be hungry. I expect them to come out and try to dominate at the line of scrimmage and get after whoever the quarterback may be for the New York Giants. But y'all, are you serious? Look, this is the gift that keeps on giving. Football
NFL,
is the gift,
man,
that keeps on giving. Freddie Kitchens is about to call an offensive game against the Browns, who we all ran out of town for sucking at calling offense for the Cleveland Browns last year. I cannot wait to see what's going to happen. I expect trick plays. I expect things to go absolutely crazy with this dude calling plays against the Browns. This is the best thing. This has become the most intriguing matchup for me this week just because of that.
Yeah, after that soliloquy, I just think this is a good matchup for the Browns offensively. Like, this is a Giants defense that I think is a good defense, but it's a zone defense. Now, when you're playing zone defense against me, there's seven sets of eyes that are in the backfield watching what's happening, right? Now, what's a way that I can attack that? Play action pass, right? And then, like, those seven sets of zone eyes, they got responsibilities in the run game. They got leverage that they got to play. They got gaps that they got to fill. So that's the way that I can take advantage and get you to honor, get you to buy some of those run fakes. Now, what does Cleveland like to do offensively? Everybody at home should be yelling, play action pass. And I remember I had a quarterback coach in the NFL named Greg Knapp, and he was talking. He comes from the Mike Shanahan tree, which is part of this offense, and he was talking about when John Elway would talk to him about playing against zone defense, and he'd always be like, listen, man, it's a zone defense. I don't care what zone it is. Someone's open. I just got to go find him. That's the thing for Baker Mayfield. You're not going to get the big balls over the top. That's not what the Giants give you, but you're going to have the opportunity to get those 15 to 20-yard chunk throws. And then if it's not there, that check down's got to be your friend. This is a high completion percentage game for Baker Mayfield. One, listen to your feet. Your feet will tell you who to throw the ball to. Number two, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt should have 14-plus catches in this game. Don't force the ball downfield. Get it out of your hands. Have 75% completion percentage or plus. Browns will win this football game.
He's been playing phenomenal, Dan. I think, outside of one interception, one mistake here or there over those last several games that they played, You got to take your hats off to the credit, though, of the coaching staff and Kevin Stefanski. And also Andrew Berry understanding what Baker Mayfield is. They did not draft him. They didn't get him as the number one pick to run this offense. They got a Kirk Cousins type situation going on. They got a guy who doesn't turn the football over, two backs in the backfield that want to run the ball. They want to play defense. They want to do those sort of things with Baker Mayfield. A lot of people look at where he got drafted. And for whatever reason, there's this pressure on him to perform at a certain level because he was the number one overall pick. I think if he's the 18th guy, the 20, 21, somewhere in there, you're like, oh, man, he's having a hell of a year. But because he's the number one overall pick, people looking at him go, oh, man, he's got to do this, he's got to do that. No, he's winning football games. He's settled down. He's not in five wide shotgun all the time. They got him in a situation where he can succeed. The interesting part, though, Phil, is what's going to happen in the future when it comes to contract time?
Sure.
Are they going to be willing to pay him that franchise-type money?
Well, the first step for them is deciding on his fifth-year option after this year, which will be a fascinating conversation for when that time comes.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are just hours away from Thursday Night Football in Las Vegas. And with that, we welcome you into the Domino's pregame headquarters. We're joined now by ESPN NFL Nation Raiders reporter Paul Gutierrez. And Paul, how different can the Raiders look defensively with such a short window to adapt to a new interim defensive coordinator in Rod Marinelli?
Yeah, Phil, I'll tell you what, there's not a whole lot they can do, especially not on a short week, and not when they're missing four starters, when you got Cleveland Furl out, Nicholas Morrow, the linebacker, cornerback Damon Arnett, a safety Jonathan Abram. There's not a whole lot that they can really do minus four starters and on a short week. And as Maurice Hurst told us yesterday, the defensive tackle, they were practicing but not even in helmets this week. So it's a lot of philosophy-type things. Rod Marinelli, his job really is to get these guys to have fun again, to strip away a lot of the things that have been there in their head, because really this defense, while it hasn't been all that good all year long, it's been really atrocious ever since the Chiefs came back and beat them here when Travis Kelce's wide open in the end zone and the nearest defenders are off in Barstow somewhere, my hometown. But beyond that, all that he really needs to do is get these guys all on the same page, fit their gaps, do their rules, understand exactly what they're doing. As John Gruden said, Rod Marinelli, even though he's a little bit older, he brings a fresh voice, a new vision, a new energy to this defensive room. Marinelli, he was asked about being 71 years old and being a defensive coordinator here. Beyond that, he said, you know what? I like those kind of people to step in my shoes and show my kind of juice. So not a lot that they can do right here and there, but, you know, the proof is going to be in the pudding tonight when they take the field.
Well, they better hope, Paul, as no team has ever made the playoffs allowing over 30 points per game defensively. The Raiders currently allowing 30.1 points per game. Thanks, as always, for the insight. All right, time for quick reads. And we've got Saturday football, people. The Bills taking on the Broncos and the Panthers looking for an improbable win against the Packers. Let's start in Denver. Swagoo, what are you watching for there?
Yeah, you tell me about Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. I'm going defense for the Buffalo Bills. They've been showing up, turning the football over. Hughes up front, Ed Oliver, obviously Milano in the middle of that defense. And then on the back end, Tre'Davious and Poirier and Hyde. These guys are playing tremendous football. They had Big Ben with pressure. They turned him over when they played the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they stopped the run. So this defense is playing lights out as well as this offense that we are going crazy about.
Let's stay right there. It could be a quiet, sneaky game up in Denver for the Buffalo Bills. They got to be careful. They're walking into a Lions' den and don't even know it, I think. I think with Josh Josh Allen had such success against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But when you talk about that defense, Denver Broncos and Vic Fangio, he knows how to dial up some stuff. Be careful, Bills.
Could Kiwi on the same wavelength, man. I agree with Vic Fangio. Played against him many times, especially in part of pass-happy offenses. What he's going to do, he's going to dare that run game for the Buffalo Bills to win it. Josh Allen and Brian Daboll got to be disciplined, man. He's going to drop eight guys in coverage, play man with roamers underneath, robbers underneath, and it's very difficult to find a rhythm as a passer, especially when you love to throw the ball so much. This Bills run game could be the difference in making sure they don't get upset this weekend.
Yeah, from the very hard-hitting department, the Bills are going to practice snowball fight. That's right, with snow all over the Northeast.
I love it.
As you see right here, players having some fun post-practice. How about the video credit to Terry Pegula, the owner of the team here at Buffalo? It's a way of life. You own a snowmobile if you play on the team and make sure you can get to work safely and on time. You know, Devontae Adams has been on a tear lately, hauling in a receiving touchdown in an 8-straight game, which is tied for the third longest streak in the Super Bowl era, with only Jerry Rice and A.J. Green ranking ahead of him. Adams has hauled in 12 touchdowns since the streak started in Week 7. Only Tyreek Hill, Keenan Allen, and A.J. Brown have even caught half of that amount in that span. All right, Dan and Key, show us what you're seeing out of Devontae.
Yeah, we know Devontae Adams is great, and we know the rapport, the feeling that he has with Aaron Rodgers when it comes to football is fantastic. And they've really refined a lot of different routes. But I wanted to have Key teach us all about the go route, because Devontae and Aaron Rodgers have made that singular route really into two different options. You'll see the first one against the Houston Texans. Not against the Houston Texans, against the
Detroit Lions.
Come on.
Well, a little technical difficulties here.
We have it on our iPad. All right, so here's the thing that Devontae has done so well is you're going to see a clip. Is this? Are we going to get action here? Okay,
yeah, we got
so
action.
We're going to get our first one against against the Houston Texans. That's him at the bottom of the screen. I told everybody he's going to be running that go route, okay? Now, Key, I want you to point out the two things that he does really well off this route when it comes to the yardage and then what he does with his shoulders, right?
Immediately, sell the go. Right around 12 yards, I need you to start peeking.
All right, so let me ask you this. What do you mean sell the go? What does that actually look like?
I want to make the defender believe that I am going vertical. I'm trying to get downtown, long home run, and have him cut me off at around 15 yards or so.
And then you told me at 12 yards is when you want that receiver kind of peeking back, right? How is that for Devontae right here? Is he looking too early? Is he looking at the right time?
Right about 12, you start to slightly turn your head. Do not turn your shoulders. Slightly just turn your head, because you want to give the illusion that I am trying to get downtown.
All right, so when you say turn the shoulders, if I'm Devontae, right, I'm as fast as him, are you saying peek
no,
back?
No, don't is do that at all.
Why? What shoulders, does that do?
Shoulders square. All you need to do is just take a peek.
Okay.
All you need to
if
do is just
if he turns
right
his
there.
Shoulders, what happens?
It's going to slow him completely down.
All right, perfect.
The defender's going to cut him off.
All right, so now this is what I liked about this throw, though, because the ball goes over the top. I mean, that's an over-the-top throw. This is the ball coming. That's that fade, right, that we go over the outside shoulder. That's the perfect throw. And you said something at the point of contact that was good for Devontae Adams when it came to looking back for the football.
Well, I think one thing that you got to make sure that you're doing is all you want to do is take that little bit of peek just like that to not slow down, Dan. If you slow down, he cuts you off. And the great throw, I was almost said Brett Favre, but a great throw by Aaron Rodgers is over the top, keeping him away from the sliding defender as a safety doesn't get into play at all.
Marcus, I know that offense is clicking, and Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers, they got that go route going, but you wanted to talk about those big boys on defense.
Yeah, no doubt, D.O. Look, you got to be careful going up against this Carolina Panthers offense and Matt Rhule. This team is battling. They get D.J. Moore back, who's the top line speed guy. Robbie Anderson has been playing really well. And Mike Davis out of the backfield has been a godsend with Christian McCaffrey being out. So this Green Bay Packers defense needs to take the onus, because now we're talking about playoff football. We know that this offense is good enough, but this Green Bay Packers defense is going to have their hands full with Teddy Bridgewater, and an offense that really can slug games out, can slow it down, make you play on their tempo. So I'm interested to see. They want to get in passing situations to let the Smith brothers come and do work. We all know what Jair Alexander has been doing on the back end with this team, but there are many weapons that this team and Carolina Panthers can deploy, and the Green Bay Packers defense needs to show up in a big way so they can have that confidence going into the playoff time, in the playoffs too. We are talking playoff time now, y'all. Like these games, we talked about the Broncos, obviously, against the Bills. We're talking about the Carolina Panthers against Green Bay. Those are two teams we expect to make runs when playoff time comes. They have to be careful. They have to find some things out about themselves. Don't sleep, Green Bay Packers defense, on this Carolina Panthers offense, and do work. Get some turnovers. Get some negative plays. Go out and put a stamp on this football game to give yourself the confidence you need going into the playoffs.
Now, you know what I'd love to see the Packers defense do a little bit more is, like, know what they're very good at when it comes to talent. Like, they got a really good secondary, right? Like, let those corners play. Put that extra guy down in the box to help against the run. Savage is playing really good. Like, play to your strength. You got great cover corners. Let those guys play. Put the extra body. Stop playing so much too high safety. You don't have to that much. Let those guys be really good in their lockdown man coverage. Put the
extra
body down near the football.
Smile, baby. It's going to be all right. We're going to get it together. Just smile for me, buddy.
I just want them to play coverage more.
I tell you what, they really do need a signature moment defensively. They've had no shortage of them on offense this year, but that Packers defense has to show up in a major way because, as we know, when it turns to January, you're beating the best of the best. Yeah. The Dolphins play host to the Patriots this Sunday, with two teams looking to make a playoff push. Though the Patriots are coming off of a humbling 24-3 loss just a week ago, Cam Newton remains confident in his squad.
You know, you don't go into a game and say you're going to get your ass beat. No, you know, you're going to go into the game saying you're going to be beating the ass, right?
All right, Marcus, he's undeterred. But what do you think of, what do you make, I should say, of Cam Newton's comments?
Hey, mark his face, man.
Man, listen. Cam, I feel you, man. I feel you. But it's going to be tough, bro. Like, I got to be – I want to be nice. I want to feel that juice you got in that statement. But it's going to be tough, y'all. And we know what this Dolphins defense is doing. We know that they turned the Chiefs over four times. And we see the Patriots are struggling offensively for any type of identity. And here's the thing you try to say, right? You go into a game and you look. And look, I don't want people to talk about Patrick Mahomes and this offense because they no one in the league can stop them for four quarters. But when you look at the Patriots, they become heavily leaning towards the run game. And Miami stops the run. They have big physical guys, big Wilkins up there, Raekwon, you know, all of those guys that they deployed defensively. And then don't even start me on this back end. Xavier Howard, Byron Jones, Rowe has reinvigorated his career in this secondary. So this defense is the worst possible defense a struggling offense can see. And look, I get it. I understand that Cam and the New England Patriots have been in games. I know Bill Belichick is the coach. I know that they'll try to put the best plan together with Josh McDaniels and Cam, but I don't see a lot of light for the New England Patriots offense against this defense, y'all. Y'all tell me if I'm wrong or I'm missing something.
Now, you're spot on, but I think that this needs to be Tua's best game this year when it comes to growth and maturity, the mental aspect of quarterbacking, not just throwing the football. Marcus, you talked about how their defense for Miami should slow down that New England offense. Well, here's the thing. Miami's beat up. You're not going to have Devontae Parker. He's not going to have Mike Gesicki, right? And so we're talking about a New England defense that is still good. So for Tua, it's one of those games where it's like, how mature are you? Because you have to go with the, how do I get to the end result? Like, the end result is all that matters this weekend. Figure out a way to win this game when you're all beat up. And so there's a process of that. You got to start and work your way backward. Number one, do not give the ball away. The only way that the Patriots have a chance to win this game is if you give the ball away. Don't do it. Number two, don't take sacks. You don't have those weapons. It's going to be hard to play second and 14, third and nine football. And then number three, when you get into scoring position, you have to have two things in your mind. One, we got points on the board. Four or five field goals might win this game. And then you got to play your absolute best football of the game when you're in that scoring red zone. You do that, two touchdowns wins this football game. So when you get down there, you got to be your best. Tua, you win this football game by the way you manage it, not by how good your stats look at the end of the game.
I think this is one of those games where Bill Belichick likes everything he's hearing from everybody. He does well against young quarterbacks, as we know.
Sure.
He torches them. He puts them in a chamber and completely torches them. And one, when you say he, the mental aspect of things is true. But I'm going to confuse you if I'm Bill Belichick. I'm going to move things around. You're going to see one thing pre-snap and another post-snap. That is how you get to these young quarterbacks. And they don't have very many weapons on the team. I mean, I couldn't even tell you who. Like, yeah. Who's on the side of the offense for him that's going to help him against a defense that's ranked 7th in the league in scoring? Okay, they give up 21 points plus a game. That's not a lot of points.
Right.
And then when you look at it, you have to say to yourself, yes, Bill Belichick, Brian Flores. Belichick's going to use Flores' same game plan on him. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all it is.
Sure.
He's going to call up Nick Saban, talk about Tua. What does Tua do right? What does he do wrong? They're going to implement that into the game plan. And that's it. They're going to force him to make the mistakes that you say he shouldn't make.
Key, great point, man, because these are both two defenses that play smart, and I think that's the key. Look, I want to talk about this. I want to get into this matchup, but I want to ask Dio a question. Dan, what is he missing legitimately with Gesicki? Because we've seen this relationship develop over the past couple weeks, and you talked about that red zone, and we know that New England likes to clamp down in the area. What is he missing particularly with Mike Gesicki?
It's the best matchup he has on offense. The way that they move Gesicki around, sometimes it's soloed, sometimes it's number three. Like, that's his favorite matchup. Also, Marcus, I mean, 6'7". It's just a height thing at some points. Yeah. Like, he's got a great feel to just toss that ball high and away to Gesicki, trusting that the height will pay the difference. So it's a big loss. Like, that's their best receiving threat matchup-wise for Miami and Tua, strictly because the matchup and the height that he trusts in.
Yeah, and if you look at the way they've utilized Gesicki this year, to your point, Dan, he's lined up as a perimeter receiver, like 70% of his snaps this year, he has been a major weapon for them in the pass game. Let's head back out to Shefty. And you guys know that Shefty has all the information, but he also has all the fantasy intel. Let's get to our DraftKings plays of the day, Shefty. And let's start at the quarterback position with Jared Goff.
Well, here's where I assume the role of Field Yates on TV field and basically recommend that Jared Goff might be a strong fantasy play this weekend, going up against the New York Jets at home. All the elements in his favor. The Rams need to keep winning. The Rams are at home. They play a poor defense. This shapes up as a big game for Jared Goff this upcoming weekend. And so we like him, as I know you would if you were playing him in fantasy football. Next player, Jeff Wilson, the 49ers running back, who seems to always produce when he's out there. And he seems like he should get some run this upcoming weekend at Dallas against the Cowboys defense that has been at best suspect this season. We got Raheem Mostert. Doesn't look like he's going to go this weekend. 49ers have a stable of backs. But whenever there are injuries, it seems like Wilson somehow pitches in and comes through. And tonight, the Chargers should be leaning on their two receivers, Jalen Guyton and Tyron Johnson. We know that Mike Williams is not expected to play. I'm told that it is probably unlikely that Keenan Allen will play. They will test him pregame. If he can play, it'll probably be limited, maybe third downs. Either way, it should be a lot of extra work for Jalen Guyton and Tyron Johnson tonight against the Las Vegas Raiders.
I know Shefty will be watching that game tonight. I will also know that Shefty and myself and 12 others will be involved in our NBA draft. If Shefty likes football, he loves himself some fantasy basketball as well. Thanks, Shefty, as always, for the insight.
Thanks, Field.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are just hours away from our first game of the Week 15 slate as the Chargers are making the quick trip to Vegas for their first game in Allegiant Stadium, which you see right there. You know, it's been a tough stretch for the Raiders recently, going 1-3 over the last four games, with that only victory coming in stunning late-game fashion against the New York Jets. John Gruden and the Raiders have now seen their playoff hopes diminish at the end of their last two seasons. Even with the win tonight, their playoff chances would sit at just 30%. Key, deja vu all over again here with the Las Vegas Raiders.
It certainly feels that way, right? I mean, go back to last year and think when they went into Indy and they won that football game. It was like, oh, the Raiders, John's got them turned around. I think it's paying off. And then all of a sudden, they go on a tailspin. They lose five of their last six games, and it smells like that right now. It really does, and I can't put a finger on it. I look at who they're playing in the Chargers. The Chargers are going to be without a couple top receivers. Mm-hmm. Their secondary is it's horrible. I mean, it's brutal, right? It's not good at all. They've missed on a number of first-round picks over the years, and then they still can't figure out what they want to do back there. And I think that that is one of the major problems with this defense. Guys are just catching and running for dear life away from the Raiders, Dan. They've got to figure out how to fix that before they can even move forward and think about the playoffs.
You know, Marcus, the short-term impact is if they win this game tonight, they're still in the playoffs. But from a big-picture perspective and for the playoffs this year, how important is winning tonight to turn this thing around?
Phil, it's vital because you think about what the Raiders were doing earlier this year. You think about coming into the season, and then we've seen them explode offensively. Like, this team is reeling, to Key's point, and trying to figure out what they can do in order to be a consistent football team. And we talked about the defensive struggles. I think about, you know, they drafted Cleveland Farrell high. They made the trade to get a lot of draft picks when they sent Khalil Mack to Chicago. Now you're at a crossroad, though. And this is the thing that's going to start creeping into the conversation. What do you do with Derek Carr? Mm-hmm. What does John Gruden feel like he has in a quarterback moving forward if this season ends badly and poorly and they don't put out the type of production that they need? I think Derek Carr has been pretty good. I think Derek Carr is an above average starter in this league. But now you have a coach and you have an organization that's had Derek Carr that's not necessarily their guy. And you're looking at, you're staring down the barrel and not even making the playoffs and watching and facing the Chargers tonight when you potentially could get a loss. There are some issues, but the biggest one is what will happen with the signal caller for the Las Vegas Raiders.
And that's the reality of the NFL. I just don't like that is the reality of the NFL. I mean, this defense has given up over 30 points this year 9 times. No quarterback is going to win in games like that. They've given up 20 twice. So, like, hey, Derek Carr, you got to go score 30 to win. Derek, you got to go score 30 to win. And Derek Carr has had a good season. But I get it, because if you're the Raiders, you're watching this team crumble again, and then you're going, wait, I know 15. He's in Kansas City. I got 12 years of that. And then I'm watching the guy that we're going to play tonight, Justin Herbert, and going, all right, I got Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. And while we might think that Derek Carr is a good quarterback, is he that? Like, is he that good? And while it's unfair because their defense is terrible, now we're going, is Derek Carr good enough in comparison to the other quarterbacks to make up for how bad we are in defense long term?
And it's a great point, Dan. And Derek Carr has played well this year. He has not been the issue with this team, though. If we look back at it, amazingly enough, that Hail Mary to Henry Ruggs on the zero blitz, if they had not made that play, this team would have been the only team to have lost to the Jets, and it would have lost 4 straight games. And when you lose 4 straight games when you're trying to make the playoffs, inevitably the blame starts coming back to the quarterback. It starts coming back to the head coach. You start firing coaches, which the Raiders did this week in firing their defensive coordinator. And when you lose 4 in a row late in the season, that's when things start to reverberate across the organization.
Well, Derek Carr is going to turn things around, specifically in the month of December. He's lost 17 games in the month of December since entering the NFL in 2014, more than any other quarterback in that span.
Big one tonight.
It's time for one more thing. And, of course, that is game pick. So, Dan Orlovsky, you kick things off as our
pick. Yeah, I mean, I felt like I just kind of, like, stood on the table for Derek Carr. So, I'm taking the Raiders.
Thank you.
Like, I'm taking the Raiders, and I think they're going to score a bunch of points. Darren Waller is going to be a big part of that. I love their pass game, the play action, Waller in the solo routes. Nelson Aguilar, I got to have you have a big game. And then Josh Jacobs, let's pound the pill a little bit. I also think the Chargers are going to have a chance to win it with a kick, and then they're going to blow the management of their clock.
Well, in that case, I'm taking the Los Angeles Chargers. Listen, y'all, we talked about how bad this defense was, and now you're playing without 4 of your starters on that side of the football. And I know that the Chargers are banged up, but remember, Justin Herbert is an athlete too. So he's going to extend plays, create opportunities downfield. 31-24.
Yeah, I'm taking the Chargers in this situation. I just look at what Coach Lynn needs to have happen. He so desperately needs a win. Yes, they are banged up, Marcus, and Keenan Allen may or may not play. If he plays, he's going to be hobbled. There's no Mike Williams. But they need this game. They need it so bad. 27-20 Chargers.
I got trust issues with some people in life. Not too many, but I do with the Chargers, and their clock management just makes me nervous, as Dan was just talking about. End of half operation last week was a cluster. They cost themselves 3 points. That's why they had to kick a game-winning miracle field goal at the end of the game, which is why I'm going with the Raiders to win a game that, as we said, is an essential must-win game for them tonight. 31-27. Somebody's going to have to step up on that Raiders defense. I'm not sure who it is, but they got to find a way to grind out a win tonight. Otherwise, their playoff chances are officially cooked.
Listen, Derek Carr, this is your opportunity, man. Like, you're playing against a really good young quarterback. You got to be the best quarterback on the field tonight. No questions asked, right? Like, this is one of those games where America is going to look to you and go, can you go here? Like, you're good. You're here. You're really good. Can you go be the difference maker? Derek Carr needs to be tonight.
Yeah, Derek Carr needs to be tonight. Dan said it. You got to do your job or else you'll wind up in Washington.
There you have it. Chargers, Raiders, kick off the action tonight. We're back with NFL Live tomorrow right here on ESPN.